great, great movie starring Denzel Washington, The Great Debaters. If you haven't seen it, fantastic. You know, Melvin Tolson understood what any of us understand. When something grabs our heart, we need to talk about it. We need to reproduce ourselves in other people. When there's a vision that God gives us for a life, a bright burning torch inside of us, we wrap ourselves around it. We wrap ourselves around the truth. We bend ourselves to that way. Today, what I'm going to talk about predominantly is something I've hinted at for several months right now, and it's how Crossroads is going to reproduce ourselves in different sites all over the region. That's what I'm going to talk about today, the multi-site strategy, and this is going to also have implications just to seeing the principles, how it plays out in your personal day-to-day life. Before I do anything else, though, let's pray. God, I'm thankful for today, and I'm thankful for 8:30 people. Amazing. 8:30 people here. They don't care about no stinking alarm clock going off in the morning. Hey, 15 minutes earlier, fine. They'll be here. I thank you for this group and that they got here on time and are ready. And I pray that all of us would hear from you, Jesus, as we've given you this portion of our morning. I pray these things in your name. Amen. The greatest invention I've ever had in my life, right here. The greatest invention I've ever come across. Anybody who's close to me knows I've said that over and over again, right here. This is called a Kindle. A Kindle. It's an electronic book. Kindle is to Amazon what iPod is to iTunes. This is an amazing, amazing thing. There's actually been no innovation in books since the printing press in Gutenberg. No innovation. Said before that it was a scroll, before that it was a papyri. You know, every single area of our lives has had some level of technology that's made the previous level totally null and void. You think about how we listen to music. Every different generation has put the previous generation out of tape, out of business, whether it was the 8-track tape or the cassette or the phonograph or the CD, and now the MP3 player. The printing press will be going out of business at some point in the future. This is amazing. I have right here in my hand, I have 30 books right here. I can be on a beach and someone can tell me about a good book, and I can get a book if I have a cell phone line in 45 seconds. I can get it for half the cost of where I get anywhere else. It's easier to read. I can actually take notes on this. I can highlight this. It goes into my computer and aids me in message preparation. It's amazing. By the way, I get no kickbacks from this at all. No kickbacks at all. I'll tell you why this naturally happens. Anytime I'm excited about something, I talk about it. Anytime. It's just something that is natural. Jesus told his followers to talk about him, told his followers to go out and reproduce himself in others. Today, none of us likes to be a convert. I mean, that's kind of this awful, awful phrase. Like, no one wants to go and convert somebody. I have my religion, you have your religion, you have your perception of God, I have my perception of God. This idea of converting somebody just sounds awful, and it is awful, because when you convert somebody, it sounds like they're an object of a strategy instead of a person who you're trying to love. But at the same token, whenever something is important to you, you naturally will talk about it. Jesus, right when he was coming down to his final time here on earth, in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19 and following, he says this, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Go. He says, go, 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 go. This is where people started becoming Christians. There's a lot about Christianity that isn't all that great because there's a lot of baggage attached to Christianity. People who endorse crusades, people who endorse hatred, people who are just difficult people. So Christianity as a label is not one that is all that great today. But Jesus isn't saying go out and perpetuate a religion of hatred and a religion of judgmentalism. He's saying go out and perpetuate me. And people in the early centuries started being called Christians. Christians. It was meant to be actually a derogatory term. To be a Christian meant to be a little Christ. People would see someone as a Christian and say, oh, was a little Christ. It was initially a derogatory term. I had a friend of mine, a guy who really built into me. I came to understand who Jesus was really through him. His name was Denny. And then he started mentoring me. And if you know anything about Denny, you know something about me. If you know anything about me, you know something about Denny. There's a lot of values and characteristics I have that I learned from him. I just naturally had him reproduced inside of me. And not everybody liked Denny. I remember one time I was interacting with a person in college. I was in college and I said something and this person looked at me and then looked at the person next to him and he said, what is this here? Is this a little Denny? We have a little Denny-ite here. And I was kind of like, you know, in some way I was sort of like wanting to fight. On the other hand, I was like, I'll take that, okay? I'll go. If you want to come out, I'll take that one. Yeah, you come a little. So what the early followers of Christ said is that, you know, you're going to call us a little Christ. We'll take that. Yeah, that's fine. You want to call us a little Christ? That's awesome. That means Jesus is being reproduced inside of us. And when Jesus gets reproduced inside of you and Jesus' love, when Jesus invades your world, what you naturally do is you go. You go. That's why we have Go Cincinnati. That's why we have things like Go Mama Lodi. Because Jesus went from a place in heaven and actually came down to earth. And he sends us to go out and love other people. That's one of the reasons why I pay very, very close attention to the numbers of the people who sign up for Go Cincinnati. Because when those numbers don't look good, our church isn't looking good because our people are not going. We're trying to stay within our little room, our little building, as opposed to going out and being a blessing to our city and a blessing to our world. See, part of the problem with why we don't reproduce Jesus, or why many of us have not encountered Jesus, is we've seen really bad images of who Jesus is. We've seen bad images, whether it's people who are homophobic, or people who are hateful, or people who are judgmental. We've seen bad images, and Jesus certainly drew lines. Certainly, he was clear about right and wrong, but he had this attitude of love. And the image that you see of people who say they're of Jesus will be the image of what you have of Jesus. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1, early fall of Christ, a guy by the name of Paul, he says this, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example. You want to know what Jesus looks like, he says? You want to know what Jesus looks like? Look at me. Because I'm following the example of Jesus. I am being reproduced. He is reproducing himself in me. The images that we have of who Jesus is are very crazy images. Go to Google sometime and just put Jesus in and Google images. And here's some of the images you find of Jesus. First one you might find is this one. Euro Jesus right here. This is an image of Jesus that we have that is actually not accurate. Here we have Jesus got, you know, nice blonde highlights, blue eyes. Jesus came from the Middle East. Nobody indigenous to the Middle East has blue eyes and pale skin that gets sunburned as easily as this guy would. Nobody does. And yet, when we're growing up with this image, we don't accurately see who Jesus is. The artists, the people who put this out, it says something about their image of Jesus. Here's another one. Bobblehead Jesus. Yeah, right. I'm not sure exactly what this means. And I guess, you know, Jesus is kind of, hey, you know, bobbling head. Bobblehead Jesus. It gives us an image of who he is. Here's another one. Sunday school Jesus. I grew up with this one. This image isn't altogether bad, but it's just sort of incomplete. I don't think Jesus had a rainbow around him anywhere he went. So I think that's inaccurate. But what this also fostered inside of me was, as soon as I'm not a kid, as soon as I'm not naive any longer, as soon as I'm not a little, you know, simpleton, then I graduate from Jesus. Jesus for the simpletons. He's for the young. He's for the little. Because after all, parents drop their kids off at Sunday school and then they leave. So when I become an adult, I don't need any of this make-believe Jesus any longer. This is Sunday school Jesus. Here's another one. Spooky Jesus right here. Got this from a guy I know, Alan Hirsch. Yeah, spooky Jesus. It's just weird, man. This is just weird. He's holding out his heart here and it's like glowing and he's got, you know, stuff bleeding from behind. And this actually is really, really bad. Let me tell you why this is really bad. This is from an era of art where people were trying to exalt Jesus' divinity and at the expense of his humanity. One of the early heresies of the Christian church was docetism, this idea that Jesus really wasn't a man. He was only God, and it was just an illusion. The early followers of Christ would say, no, he was fully man, and he was fully God at the same time. This is a Jesus here who's able to rip out his heart. He doesn't actually bleed. He bleeds sunshine. And he's got something. This is not a guy. This is not a real guy. Here's another one for you. This is my buddy Jesus. Hey, yeah. Yeah, you. Jesus is my homeboy. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is my homeboy. Yeah. Yeah. And there's, This Jesus kind of is like, hey, you, dude, you're, yeah, yeah. This is not a Jesus to bow down to. This isn't a Jesus to submit to. This isn't a Jesus to take directions from. This is just a Jesus to pal around with. Here's another one. Bearded lady Jesus, right there. Bearded lady. Now, if you'll just take your hand and cover up the beard, you see that, yeah, that's a chick right there. A bearded lady Jesus. Jesus was a carpenter. He didn't wear CoverGirl, okay? He did not wear CoverGirl. This is completely a false, effeminate Jesus. No carpenter in the first century ever looked like bearded lady Jesus with Clairol CoverGirl. Nobody ever did. These are all images that fail to measure up to his depth and his beauty. In fact, the only way today we could really know what Jesus looks like is when Jesus' love and passion and strength and honor is reproduced inside of one of his followers. Jesus was interacting with his early friends and said, who do you think I am? And one of his best friends, Peter, said, I say you're the Christ. I say you're God's son. Jesus says, you are Peter. In fact, I'm going to rename you right now. I'm going to name you Rock. And on you, I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You will do a forward advance against all that is hellish in this world. He establishes his church. A church is whenever a group of people who are being reproduced come together. Is whenever a group of people who sense God coming alive in them want to go out and reproduce themselves and others and actually go. That's a church. It could be 12 people that meet in a house. It could be 12,000 that meet in a building. It's a group of people that Jesus has been reproduced in, and they want to reproduce themselves in the world. Now, across the globe, Christianity, and again, I've already said limits of the word Christianity, but across the globe, people who've been aligning themselves with Jesus as a movement has been going through the roof. The media doesn't talk about this, but it's been going through the roof, especially on south of the globe. Philip Jenkins, in his book, The Next Christendom, talks about how the shift has gone from the west to the southern part of the globe, and it is skyrocketing. People are being reproduced in Christ all over the place. It's amazing, except in the west. Except in places like Europe and in the United States. In Europe, 1% of the population goes to church. That really means that 1% of the population is somehow aligning itself with Jesus. So that doesn't mean that you have to go to a building, but when 1% goes to church, it says that Jesus' love and his values are not being reproduced there. In America, when we started Crossroads 12 years ago, 33% of Americans went to church on a weekly basis or a regular basis. Today, according to Dave Olson, and his website, theamericanchurch.org, that's about 17.5% right now. 17.5%. And it's going down to every kind of church. Catholic church, traditional mainline Protestant churches, independent evangelical churches, every single one going down, down, down. In fact, every single year, 3,700 churches close down. Just shut down. 3,700 in America. Every single year. While this is happening, our population is actually increasing. So we have fewer people who are being in a place where they're being challenged who God is. More churches are shutting down. We not only, just to keep pace with our current paltry rate, we not only need to replace those that have shut down, but we need to add, in addition to that, 2,900 new churches every single year just to keep pace at 17%. 2,900. Now, well, as I said last year, just because a church shuts down, it isn't necessarily a bad thing. We at Crossroads, we want to die to ourselves, and that means that someday we will physically and literally die. In fact, I've been in churches that, truth be told, they died a long time ago. They just didn't know it. So there's nothing wrong when a church actually shuts down, because God calls things to die and go away. That's really okay. What's really bad is when the rest of his followers aren't going, aren't reproducing themselves. What would happen if Crossroads didn't reproduce itself? If we hadn't reproduced ourselves years ago, well, 4,000 people wouldn't be serving Cincinnati and Go Cincinnati. AIDS hospices wouldn't have been built on the other side of the globe. New hope for girls coming out of sex slavery wouldn't have happened. All that happened. Those things are happening because we are reproducing ourselves. What happens when something gets extinct? The American church, people who are banding together as followers of Christ, are becoming extinct. We are on the endangered species list here in our country. We're going the way of the dodo bird. You ever see the dodo bird? No one's ever seen the dodo bird. This is the only image you can actually see of a dodo bird. Dodo bird was killed out in the 17th century. The dodo bird was extinct for the same reason any species gets extinct. It's a combination of two factors. First is hostile environment, new hostile conditions. The hostile conditions for the dodo bird was it had no inbred fear of people. So people would land on the island in which it would live, and the dodo birds would say, oh, people, kind of come over to people, and they, oh, I think I will have lunch. Wham! They would kill the dodo bird and have lunch. It had no inbred fear of humans. So the hostile conditions were settlers were coming in its environment, and it had no inbred fear of that, because that's the second thing. Second thing is hostile conditions and an inability to change. If you want to be extinct, put yourself in hostile conditions and an inability to change, inability to adapt. I have another graph here that shows how aggressive people used to be, the church used to be, how aggressive it used to be in starting new churches. This is the graph of all the churches that were started per 1 million residents since 1800. You can see followers of Christ in our country's history were much more aggressive starting new churches early on. You can see a huge dip about a third way across. That was a civil war. We decided to kill each other instead of start churches there. So that was what happened there. And you can see as you go to the right, there's a little spike. That was right after World War II. The builder generation, the vets got back from World War II. The people like to build things. They say, hey, let's go start churches. Let's go build churches. That's why you notice a lot of the kind of basic standard churches, they all look the same and all about the same amount of time because people said, man, let's get serious about starting churches. Now you can see we're going down, 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 down and hurting here. There is a hostile environment today if you want to be a Christ follower. There's values that come against you. There's difficult situations that we have. There's not a culture that accepts the values of love necessarily. Even if you just want to gather people together, fire up in a setting like this. Hey, 50 years ago, there was virtually no competition for your time. If you decide to start a church, people are like, hey man, what am I going to do today? Well, I don't really have that much else to do on a weekend. Oh, I'll go to church. Today you got soccer games, you got PSP you can be playing, you got movies you can be doing, you've got different functions, you got all of these things that are crowding out and making it difficult. On top of that, you got longer drive times to get to a church that connects with your need, and you have increasing gasoline prices. You have so many factors that are keeping us away, and there needs to be an ability to change. That's why we want to start different churches all over the region. We want to put a spot, a church, right in the middle of all the communities all over this region, all led by the same vision, all getting the same message every single weekend. Actually, video teaching, whoever's teaching here or at a different site, will be broadcast video to all of those folks. Set live music, live kids club, everything, but the message to ensure the same vision would be on video. This is an innovation the body of Christ has always, always excelled at until recently. The pews, some of you came in, right, come in here the first time you came to Crossroads and you went, where's all the pews? This isn't a real church. Where's the pews? I mean, this is auditorium chairs. When early cross followers first came in and saw pews about the 12th century, they said, pews? What are pews in here for? Should be pews in a church. You're supposed to stand in church. Stand and kneel on the ground. Pews? Pew was an innovative accommodation for the culture. Early Christ followers used that innovation. Now today, we think that standard, no, that was very, very innovative and very, very controversial. Organs. Someone going, man, I thought the cross was at a pipe organ. Then it would be church. Then it would be really church. It's so funny because when the pipe organ was first introduced into the church, longtime churchgoers thought this is awful. The organ was a barroom instrument. It was something to get wasted to and drink to. And so early innovators said, hey, people seem to have fun around an organ. Why don't we bring it in church? Maybe they'll like sing hymns more with more gusto. And people were offended. They said, oh, an organ will never work. Just like they said, a pew, it'll never, never, ever work. And then Gutenberg comes along with the printing press. And early Christ followers start saying, hey, the Bible, let's start printing off the Bible. And some people said, oh, no, you can't print out the Word of God. You can't, you have to have somebody stand up and just talk about it in Latin. You can't put the Word of God in average people's hands. It was incredibly controversial, but early Christ followers said, no, we are going to print this out. In fact, on this Kindle, it was kind of cool. One of the very first books that was put on here electronically is somebody put the Bible on here. That's the innovation that we've always gone on, those of us who are truly being reproduced in Christ. I don't know why it is that people think that the more you come like Jesus, the more fuddy-duddy you become.
Maybe I'm more fuddy-duddy in terms of some of your values, but not in terms of the means. And as a result of the Gutenberg Press, people started getting literate because they said, hey, as we teach people to read, one of these early books that's really taken off is the Bible. We'll just use the Bible. Video is now used. All different kinds of things are used. This is what we want to do. We want to continue to use innovation to fuel the revolution of Christ and to be a blessing to reproduce ourselves and go all over the city. When we started Crossroads years and years and years ago, somebody who was part of the church came up and challenged me. They didn't agree with anything that I was saying and challenged me to get together with him. And that was the days when Crossroads was small and anybody came up to me and I'd say, oh yeah, sure, I'll get together with you. I got nothing better to do. And so I actually got together with this guy and started to develop a relationship with him. And let's take a look at a little bit of Crossroads history here.
And I had a number of experiences in my life that really made me begin to question my religion and my beliefs, if there really was a God. I was a profound atheist, and I described myself as that to people. I walked in, thought it was great, I could have a cup of coffee, it was a relaxed environment. I described it as deinstitutionalized. I was looking for God. I asked you, how do you believe? Why do you believe as intensely as you do? Because I can't seem to find anything to cling on to right now at all. As you said to me, people want to try to define their God in their own way, and everybody wants God to be the way they want it to be. And sometimes we all need to step back and realize God is the way God wants to be. I walked out of your office not believing in God, but still seeking, still thinking, well, maybe I'll have that experience.
The last time that I was interviewed was 7 years ago, and I was in a completely different place than I am now in my relationship with God. In fact, I was so nervous about participating in the video that I asked to have my face blacked out because I didn't know if some of the members of this church would actually come find me and beat me up with their Bibles. Who knows? I just didn't know for sure what was going to happen, but I thought my story was worth sharing and went ahead and talked to Brian about where I was and my journey, so to speak. Where I'm at today is kind of ironic because I am now one of those people who may actually go out and find somebody to come to Crossroads. I got involved with our attempt to put a church in the Mason community, and I'm actively going to be involved in recruiting those seekers to get involved in building a church community in the Mason area. I pushed God away for a while, and I'll never forget I had to have some work done in my basement. And I had water seepage, and the contractor said, water always wins. It'll always find a way to get in. And I guess in my life, God is water, because I look at it and say, God has found a way to get back into my life. I left the community. I moved to Mason. It was a real challenge to come here regularly. So what we have done is brought the community to Mason. And water always wins. God's going to find a way to get in. And hopefully we'll find seekers in Mason who need to have that relationship with God. And we'll be able to build this community there as well.
That is unbelievable. Amazing. There's nothing more amazing than when God gets a hold of a life and a life is far from Him. If that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what does or what should. And the amazing thing is God wants us to use innovation, anything possible, to go after with people with the love of who God is. God wants all types of innovation. What do you think about that, Brian?
I think most people have no idea they watch video here all the time. That's what I think. I think most of us go, oh, that innovation of watching video, that wouldn't work. That, when you come here, you actually watch the video all the time anyway. And if it wasn't for the people close who were laughing, nobody even would have known, even told a difference. See, whenever there's innovation, when people want to go, people say, oh, that'll work. Oh, no, pews, oh, that's a bad idea. Oh, printing out the Word of God in Gutenberg, oh, no, that's a bad idea. Oh, that'll never, oh, Oregon, oh, that's a bad idea. That'll never work. Oh,
hey man, the followers of Christ have always been on the leading edge of innovation, going and going and going and going. And we've just noticed there's been hostile factors that have been happening that are trying to stand in the way of us reproducing ourselves. And one of the ways we adapt is to decentralize ourselves and get out all across the region. Here's a map of the Cincinnati area right here. And these little dots are a bullet point of every zip code that we have, or every address we have that we're able to plot from our database. People have registered for the website and such. You see that lower circle there with the line in the middle? Okay, we got a little arrow that goes there. That's right where Crossroads is. So in Oakley, and we got like a picture of that little dot right there. There's that guy right there who lives right beside Crossroads. There he is. That's kind of Oakley Ollie or whatever his name is right there. So then we go back to this map and you'll see up here we already have a sign. We now have a signed rental agreement for Mason Middle School ready to start in October. And that's where that thing is right there. And there's a person that lives right by there. They're kind of classic Mason person. There they are right there. It's amazing how our database has all these actual photos. Yeah, all these actual photos. And then when we go back to our map someday, we'll even have one way, way, way down there in the further reaches of Kentucky. And you can see that little person right there. Here's that person right there. Is that person right there? I'm sorry, that's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Some of you are in Kentucky going, that's not funny at all. Hey, you know what? It is funny. We always poke at ourselves. We are an equal opportunity offender here. Everyone gets offended sooner or later. Why multi-site? Three things. Number one, dialect. Number two, decentralization. Number three, deployment. Dialect, decentralization, deployment. Dialect. Let me talk about that. There are needs for all different kinds of churches and all different communities because every church has a different dialect it uses. Crossroads, we have a unique dialect we speak. We do. It's junior high humor dialect or it's some sort of, it's a unique dialect. And not everyone likes our dialect and that's okay. That's totally fine. But Jesus, just like he sent people out, they all had different dialects. The apostle Peter spoke a different dialect to a Jewish audience than Paul did, who spoke a different dialect to a Gentile audience. We need different churches, different bodies, teams of people, actually in every community that have a unique dialect. And we believe there's a dialect that we speak that reaches a type of person in the Cincinnati region that the other churches have a difficult time reaching and growing. That's one reason. Second is decentralization. We do not want people to spend 30, 40 minutes driving to a place and then going back to their community. We believe the way that the church operates best is what's in the community in which you live. You're bumping up against people you go to school with. You're bumping up against people you're shopping with. You're just there. It's there at that time. We want to decentralize. We don't want to just become a larger and larger elephant. We want to become a virus. Elephants are just in one location. Viruses, they spread out and they go all over the place. And then finally, we want to be able to deploy more people into blessing the world. Imagine what it'll look like with, in addition to our partnerships with churches that we've established here in our city, if in addition to that, if we actually deploy people who are hearing the vision of what God's calling us to do, the numbers of people that can engage in South Africa, the numbers of people that get engaged in India, the numbers of people that can engage in WizKids tutoring here in our city that are increasing kids' test scores, the number of people that engage in just loving normal people who are next door to them. The fact of the matter is, if you don't know who Jesus is, it's helpful to go to a place where your dialect is spoken. And if you live in the Mason area or Indiana or way down in Kentucky or wherever, you're not going to drive 45 minutes of prime weekend time, 45 minute gamble, or go someplace you're not sure you want to go at in the first place and then come back. It's just not going to happen. Dialects are going to be unique. The things that we do are going to be unique. As I mentioned earlier, we're starting to work out another place that we're working on to have a site in a correctional facility. We're not ready to go public on that one yet. But these are going to be in all different forms all over the place. One of the benefits, I think, to our ministry here over the last several years is when we actually rented space in Clark Montessori over in Hyde Park, it was a blessing, not just because it was more affordable than
than buying, but it was also a blessing because it forced us to interact with leaders of our city. It forced us to interact with influencers in that school. It forced us to be in the community. Jesus always goes into communities. He goes into relationship. He doesn't want to call people out into a holy huddle. He wants to send people to engage the world. And the blessings that we had from engaging the school administration still exist to this day. We have a stellar track record and reputation with Cincinnati Public Schools because of how we've been building into them, because you're forced into a sense of community by renting there. We have that same thing starting to happen up in Mason. I think it's one of the benefits of these things happening. When we see a group of leaders pop up and say, hey, I'd like to see something like that happen in my area, we say, oh, we'll look at it. Some of you are going, hey, well, what about my area? Why aren't we doing here? Why? Well, why don't you speak up? Maybe there is, you're the genesis of a group of people start in another area of the city. But we went up to Mason because a group of people wanted to start something in the Mason-Westchester area. There was nothing for us to rent. We had a hard time finding anything to rent. It was very, very difficult. Mason Schools has never had a church that's ever been in their school. It's been very, very hard. They actually changed their bylaws to get us to go up there and unanimously approved Crossroads coming up and renting their facilities and said in the board meeting, yeah, isn't that awesome? And said, we are excited to have Crossroads here. I think that speaks the marks that we want to have as a church. We certainly believe things. When you follow Jesus, there's things that you believe that people aren't going to understand or aren't going to like. But people should always see that you are a loving person that wants to engage. And we are excited that areas around the city are starting to see that that's part of our dialect. That's part of our DNA. And it's going to be a way that we continue to bless this entire world. It forces us to engage. Now, when we do this, by the way, there's no guarantee this will work. Innovation is like that. If innovation wasn't risky, then everybody would be doing it and it wouldn't be innovative. As far as we know of, this isn't happening in our city. It is happening in other churches and other cities across the nation with a great level of effectiveness. But we feel this is the next place to reproduce ourselves in other people. I got this email this last week from this guy. I've never heard of him. I've heard of his church. And here's his email. I just pasted it in. I didn't try to edit it up or make it nicer. You know, email's rough. I just pasted it right into this. And here's what it said. Brian, my name is Scotty Neal. I planted a church in the Regal Theater in Mason in October and just wanted to say I'm stoked you guys are coming to Mason. I was telling Tom Plank from Journey Church in Westchester today that I was pumped for you guys, and he gave me your email so I could let you know. If there's anything I can do for you or Crossroads, please let me know. I would love to hook up and chat a bit if that opportunity was ever to present itself. So if that's a possibility, please let me know. Thanks for all you continue to let God do through you, through Crossroads in Cincinnati. Scotty Neal, originschurch.tv. I've heard of that church. Now I understand the character of that church. That dude right there, let me tell you, if you live in Mason, just go to that church. You need to go and like visit them. Maybe it's not a dialect that you would appreciate, but I'll tell you what, that right there is the character of Jesus that's being reproduced in that guy. Go there. Go check. Take your tithe. Go to that place. That is the kingdom. That right there is the character of Jesus, not being about him, but saying, hey, there's so much opportunity. People be blessed. Come on in. Phenomenal. This is one of the things that Denny taught me as a Dennyite. He said, always be about going and blessing other people, telling them what God has done in your life. I want to be as fired up as I am about a Kindle, and I want you to think about as fired up as you are about anything in your life. No matter how fired up you are about stuff like this, if you aren't as fired up about Jesus, it says something about your spiritual condition if you call yourself a Christ follower. It says something about it. Then he reproduced himself in me and gave me the idea that I've been working for 25 years. It's called a pace list. Pace list. It's actually in your program. I printed it out for you. You'll see the notes on the bottom of that. You'll see a little toothbrush. A little toothbrush that says pace lists. I pray for people who are friends of mine, genuine friends of mine, who have not experienced who Jesus is yet every day whenever I brush my teeth. Whenever I put toothpaste on my brush, I pray for them. So I'm like, I pray for you. And they're right on my mirror. Sometimes it's a piece of paper that's pasted there. Right now, it's just lipstick. My wife's lipstick. Where their names are put in. Chris, Iris, Tom, Liz, Stefan. And I pray for every day, once a day, at the end of the day. Someone goes, once a day? You don't brush your teeth after every meal? No, I don't. No. Come on, who brushes their teeth after every meal? Thank you for being honest. Thank you very much. Once a day works for me. I got two cavities. That works for me. Okay, so as I do this, people's lives have been changed. See, here's the thing. What you pray about is what you are about. What you pray about is what you're about. You just pray for Aunt Millie's hip. Guess what? You're about health. And when you just pray for your promotion, that's the only time you pray. What you're about is your financial advancement. What you pray about is what you are about. And so when I pray for people who have not experienced the love of that Jesus offers, the purpose that Jesus offers, the strength that Jesus offers, I pray that because I am about that. I want to ask you, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, to start reproducing yourself, and the first step is to start praying about that. Put that list up on your mirror. And God, that's what we're praying for right now. We're praying this. We're praying that those of us who have experienced you, we actually start reproducing ourselves. We start engaging in our world, and we start to see the blessing and the fruit that comes from engaging and running to people. The fruit that comes in going to people. And that's what I'm saying right now. I want to run. I want to run. We want to run because you, Jesus, you ran to us.